Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Is it on? There it is. Well, it's an honor to be here today. I think that the body of Christ is composed of so many different components, and it takes all those components to make it really happen in your life. I think that every season that you walk through, I think God brings people into that season to strengthen you and make you better. And I thank Dallas Christian College and I thank my friend for making me better. You stretched me in a time that I needed to be stretched, and I came away with some tools that I bring with me to each season of my life. How many understand that your life is just about seasons? You understand that? Have you really thought about that? That, you know, you have a winter, you have a spring, you have a summer, you have a fall. But life is just really about seasons. The temporary place where you are is just that, a temporary place. Dallas Christian College is just a season for you. But it's what you do in those seasons that will propel you towards your destiny and future in Christ. See, there's only two things that I've asked of God. I want to be a forerunner to our nation. That means that I want to be at the head of the battle. That means that I'm going to get bruised up and beat up sometimes. I'm going to get knocked down. Somebody's going to have to help me get up. But I'm also going to get to experience victory firsthand. See, I'm going to be able to see in the students' eyes and parents' eyes when it finally clicks and when the Word of God begins to transform their lives. And the second thing I've asked God is that, will you make me like the sons of Issachar? They were the smallest army in David's kingdom, but they were the most valuable because they knew the times. It's important to know the times that we live in, to understand the season that we're in our lives. You know, just this past week, I've been busy this last 5 days, Mark, with one of my dear friends for 25 years. His parents passed away in a car accident on Westmoreland Avenue this past Wednesday. His parents had been pastors for 35 years in this city, and they both died instantly in this car accident. And I was sitting there with him Thursday night and Friday with funeral arrangements, and then I spent, you know, part of the weekend and then Monday, Tuesday with him. And the only thing that came to mind was the fact that they were so faithful in each season. And there was a point that the question was asked, how many here are here today because you were impacted by these two lives? And 95% of the people attending stood up, including me, because life is about seasons. There was a point in my life and a season in my life where these people were brought into my life to stretch me and to make me better. Now, what you do with that is up to you. What you do with each season of your life is really up to us. What am I going to do as a leader in this country, as a leader in my city, as a leader in my community, as a leader in my home? What will I do to carry out His purpose and destiny in my life? I cannot wander around life thinking about, well, this is my dream. Jim Rohn says, a dream is only a dream until you put a date on it. That's why you run into 40 and 50 and 60-year-olds and say, well, I really wanted to be this. See, it's still a dream in their mind. Today you're sitting here, but 20 years from now, you'll be sitting here as well. Maybe in a different room, maybe in a different city, but you'll be sitting in the same stage of life. Because life is about seasons and what you do with it. Today I want to talk to you briefly about living your story. Everybody loves stories. Do you remember hanging out with your parents? Everybody's together, especially Thanksgiving is coming up. And you hear the same stories from when your dads were kids or your moms. And you go up and say, hey, Dad, can you just share this story about, remember, yeah, just tell everybody again, you know. And you hear the same stories over and over again, and they're still funny. Because we all love to hear stories. Millions of people run to the theaters on the weekend. They stand there at 12 midnight. I remember when The Dark Knight Rises came out. Some of my friends, they were like at the theater at 3 in the morning. I'm going, gosh, I have a hard time going to the theater at 9:30 at night. You know, My wife already understands that we're going to do a late movie. I'm going to have to catch some kind of nap time, you know. And then I have a perfect position. You know, when the movie gets really slow, I have a certain, just the way I sit. And Mary thinks I'm still awake. And I'm out. You know, thank God I don't snore. You know, but I'm just like this, right next to her. Because, you know, wives like to cuddle up, so we do that. You know, so I'm like this, and I'm going. And I'll be out. But everybody likes to hear the stories. But let's go to Psalms 139, verse 13 through 16. And I know that for you that have your phones, you were probably already there. You version, you had it on already. I'm convinced. And it says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Father, I just thank you for your word this afternoon, morning. I thank you because your word is truth and your word never comes back void. Father, today we're going to sow your word in fertile ground. And we declare that this college, the city, and this nation will see the harvest of your word. We'll see the fruit of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We all love stories. I have great stories. I'll tell you one. I remember, I was about 11 years old. My mom left to go buy groceries, but before she left, she said, "Now, Abel, you know, we're going to leave for a couple of hours, so I don't want you and your brother to be fighting." How many know that brothers fight, right? I say, "Hey, no problem, Mom. My brother's older than me. He's 5 years older than me. She should have been telling him, not me, right? I'm the young one." But because I've always been God-fearing, you know, good Christian kid, you know, my mom said, you know, he probably handled them, you know. So I remember being, and I was laying down in my bed listening to some worship music, I assume. And I was just laying there, and all of a sudden, my brother sneaks up through the room, you know, up to my room, and my bed was really close to the door. So he sneaks up, and he just hits me with a pillow. Now, if you understand anything about pillow fighting, you got to get it wet a little bit. Because when you get it wet, it really hurts. You know, so he did that. He understood rules of engagement, you know, so I was sitting there and it just hit me in the face for no reason. And my mom said, "If you do fight, don't take it in the living room." Because if you know Latino moms always have like big animals and stuff, you know, all over their tables, you know, My mom had a coffee table and had a big tiger in it. I'm like, "We didn't even have to go to the zoo. It's right there," you know. So when my brother hit me with a pillow that was wet, it really hurt, and it stung. But because my faith in my father, I said, "Resist the devil and he shall flee." So I did nothing. Then about 5 minutes later, my brother snuck up again and hit me the second time. And then another verse came to me. It said, "Faith without works is dead." I must go do something now. So I grabbed my pillow. I went to the bathroom. I got it wet. And I said, "It's on. Let's do this thing." You know, my house has to where you can, my mom's house, you can kind of run around. So we were running around, you know. And then we ended up in the living room where we weren't supposed to be. And I'm in the middle, and he's in the middle. We have that tiger on top of that coffee table, you know, and I'm swinging at him. And as I swing, he ducks, and I hit the tiger, and I knock his head off. Well, you know what happens when brothers fight and then something goes wrong? You immediately become allies. You know, in Spanish is manito. You know, "Hey, little brother, what are we going to do?" I'm like, "I don't know." He said, "My brother's a handyman. Go get the super glue." I'm like, "All right." So I took off. We put our, we, you know, we put our arms down, and I ran to get the super glue. I came back, and he already had the tiger, you know, his head. He's like, man, it's going to be hard. He goes, you just open it, and you start pouring it on, and don't worry, I'm going to fix this thing. I said, all right. So I put it on, you know. I put it on, and finally we got the head back on him. However, this is the way the tiger looked when it was at my mom's house, right? And when we got done, it was like this. We just made a little bit of an adjustment on him. If you got any parents in here, you know, my parents showed up, and man, whenever you show up to your house and your kids voluntarily run out to help you with the groceries, it's really you need to tell them to stop, and you need to go inside and say, we need to talk. What happened? You know, I don't know why parents forget that they were kids. You know, we just forget. I'm like, wow, it's just common sense. My father and my mom showed up, and we ran out. I said, hey, Mom, can we help you with the groceries? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. She's going, oh, my gosh, these guys have been in prayer, or I don't know what happened to them. So check this out. 2 weeks went by, and I thought, man, we got away with this, you know? And one morning, as I'm coming out around 10 o'clock from my room, my mom's sitting in her chair, and my mom says to my dad, hey, what's wrong with the tiger? Well, immediately I just felt the Lord speak to me and say, son, stop where you're at. Don't walk any further. Because any further would have put me in the living room. So I stopped in the hallway and I just stood there. And I heard the Lord say, just listen. Okay? Have you ever heard the Lord just tell you just to listen? Be still and know that I am God, you know? So I'm there. And my dad goes, I don't know what's wrong with the tiger. You have to understand something. 1972, my mom was going to a mental institution because she was crazy. And God healed her and saved her. So my dad, when she asked what's wrong with the tiger, he like gets taken back to 1972. He goes, oh, my gosh, this lady's crazy again. So I'm sitting there listening to the conversation, and he leans closer to it. He goes, well, it looks like it's got a crack on his neck. And it looks like it's going all the way around his neck. So at that point, I just heard my name called out. But before that, I heard the Lord say, run, son, run. So by the time I heard my name, I was halfway out the window of my bedroom door. I was halfway out like this, and I heard my name called. You know, they call you your whole name, you know. Even the name they thought about naming you when you were born. It's like you have like 15 names. You're going, oh, gosh, that's not good. You know, so I took off to go play. We didn't have cell phones. Thank you, Lord. And I just played all day football with my friends. I didn't get back till like 9 o'clock at night. And I said, you know, by now my mom probably just forgot. And when I walked in through the door, she goes, where you been, mijo? I said, I've been playing, Mom. How was your day? Have you ever been whooped so hard that you fall asleep? You been there? It's like you get whooped so hard that you're crying so hard, you're going, you know, stuff like that. And then you just fall asleep. And then like 2 hours later, you wake up, and it's almost like the first day you gave your life to Christ. You're going, wow, what a beautiful day. And always, it always happens to be like the mom always says, how you doing, mijo? And you're going, I'm doing great. Well, I got one of those whoopings, man, you know, that it just put me to sleep, you know. But that's just a story. I have so many stories, and people love hearing stories. I love hearing my dad's stories. I love hearing my mom's stories. And we just joke around. We hear each other's stories of all the things that happened to us growing up, the things that happened to us now. But the truth is that you've got a story to live, that I can't live for you. No one else can do it but you. You're here today in this season of your life. What will you do with it that will propel you towards the future and your destiny in Christ? Because you have a story to live. But let me give you three simple steps that will help you realize that you do have a story. Number one, Jesus is the author of your faith. Hebrews 12:2. Says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author. Now, what is an author? An author is one who has written a book halfway, is an author who started maybe on the introduction of a book, is an author maybe one who has completed a book. It's one who has completed a book. It's an author. And if Jesus is the author of your faith, he's completed your story. You must start living it. There'll be days that even the very core of your being will be shaken. But we must remember that he's the author of our faith. He's written our story. Number two, you have to believe that you're wonderfully made. See, the psalmist, he knew this. He understood that he was knitted together, that he was wonderfully made. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." Can you look at your neighbor and say, "You're wonderfully made"? Do you look at yourself in the mirror in the mornings when you wake up? You turn on that light, you look at yourself, and you go, "Wow. You outdid yourself, Creator. You're bad, man." I think sometimes we struggle with seeing ourselves wonderfully made because of all the weaknesses that we have, all the failures of the past, all the things that we're not, all the things that we want to be, but have created obstacles in our lives that we can't reach out to. And I'm here to tell you today that in order for you to read to be able to live your story and really step into fulfilling your destiny and future in Christ, one, he's the author of your faith. Two, you're wonderfully made. See, I discovered many years ago in youth ministry that I didn't have to dress the coolest. I didn't have to have the coolest haircut. Wow, that's like an amen, right? Every time I say it, I go, "Bless you." I didn't. Okay. It went. You ever done those sneezes? You don't want to sneeze out loud, you just go, and your back pops. Should try it sometimes. Feels really good. It'll save you $65. You don't have to go get a massage. Now you guys messed me up. But I think sometimes we struggle with seeing ourselves wonderfully made. I discovered the fact that I didn't have to be the coolest youth worker. I just had to be me. Because God was willing to use me the way I was. See, you run into youth workers that they're like all hip, and they even talk like the kids. You don't even know who the youth worker is. And kids don't think that's cool. They're going, "Something's wrong here. You're like 50 years older than us." "Oh, yeah, hey, we're tight, man. Yeah, we're tight." I said, "Man, just talk normal to me. I don't understand that." I couldn't change much. I've got a bunch of white hair. If I let it grow out, man, it's not a good picture. So I just cut it short, put a little bit of gel, and just manage it. That's what I do, you know. I discovered that teens wanted somebody real. I discovered that I was wonderfully made. I discovered that all the ingredients to fulfill my destiny were already there. It just had to be stirred up. And I just had to believe that I was wonderfully made. Because the psalmist, he discovered that. Will you agree with yourself and say, "Lord, I just want to thank you today because I am wonderfully made. Everything that I need to take me to the next season and the season after that and accomplish my destiny in you is already there." So what are you waiting for? You don't have to look for the next fad so that you can blend in. You're already there. Move forward with who you are in Christ, because everything that's in you is already there. Stir that stuff up and move forward. And the last thing is, you must be convinced that you matter to God. Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31, it says this: are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you have more value than many sparrows. Have you ever woken up in the morning and heard this little bird singing outside your window? How many of you have actually gotten up, woken up, and you're startled, and you run, and you tell one of your friends, and you say, you know what? I'm really worried this morning. And your friends say, why are you worried? Well, I don't know who's going to feed those birds out there. Have you ever done that? Because if you have, we need to help you today. All right, we're going to open another ministry here at Dallas Christian College. Or, as a kid, did you ever try catching one of those and then taking it to your neighbor's house and say, hey, I'd like to sell this to you? Your neighbor's going to go, we need to get you some help. Those aren't worth anything. Nobody ever worries about those birds. Nobody ever really worries about catching them and selling them because they're not worth anything. But yet the Father says, I make the call on when those fall. And I make the call on how they're fed. So how much more are you not more important when you're created in my image? See, in order to live your story, we must understand and know that He is the author of our faith. We must understand and know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And the third thing is, it doesn't matter what storm comes my way. Man, you love me so much that you're right there for me. Every time that I'm in the middle of the darkest storm of my life, I've seen your hand. And I've seen you step right there next to me, because I matter to you. So it doesn't matter the odds, because as long as you're with me, I can persevere to the next season of my life. You're sitting in here today and you're saying, I'm 21, I'm 20, I'm 18, I'm 22. What could I do? You start living these principles, just watch what He'll do through you. You're looking at a young Latino who skipped his first 3 months of third grade. A guy who spends more time in school today than he did when he was in school. A guy who had a lot of fears. Guy who didn't understand early on that He was the author of my faith. Guy who didn't understand early on that I was wonderfully made. And I didn't understand that I really mattered to Him. That if He breathed this into me, that He would come see it through in my life. Today, I love the song we were singing. I don't have to be afraid. See, when you understand that He's the author and you're wonderfully made in His image and that you matter to Him, you're no longer afraid. That's when you understand His protection, His mercy, His forgiveness, His security, and you're able to get up and move forward in each season of your life. And you're able to sing, His love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me, You know, there's people around us that sometimes their love gives up on us and it runs out because their patience runs out on the way we act. But every time I've gone to the cross, His love is always there and it's never failed me and it'll never run out. So as you move forward with the season of your life, will you take these three principles and apply them? Will you allow God to completely fulfill His mission in your life? I didn't think that I would touch thousands of lives. I have friends who are more talented, better looking, they're better speakers, they've got better everything, except better looking wives and kids. My son's here with me today. There's no greater joy than working with my kids. They don't have to do what I do. They just have to love what I do. Because see, if they love what I do, then I've done a great job as a father. I work with so many teens that hate what their parents do because they've been driven away by that. So as you move forward in life, understand who's your author. And just in case you forget, you're wonderfully made and you matter to Him. Are you ready to do that? Bow your head where you are. Father, I just thank